Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he'll speak the truth in love.
Hey, in the Christian life, God wants you to grow up big and strong. He doesn't want you to be a baby all your Christian life. He wants you to be big and strong. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians about growing up and building ourselves up so that we would be big and strong.
He can heal every scar.
Would you classify your spiritual maturity as just that, mature? Or if you're honest with yourself, would you have to say that you're still a spiritual infant? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he begins a series called The Truth in Love with a message about how we can grow strong in the Lord. And Pastor, I know you have much to say about this topic this month, right?
Yes, in Ephesians chapter 4, the scripture commands us to speak the truth in love so that we can grow into all aspects into Christ. And so the series, Speaking the Truth in Love, focuses in on hot button issues of our day to help people know this is what God says about this subject and that subject that are in the news and people are debating these things. Well, Christians need to know what does the Bible say and why does God say this? And how can we help a generation that has turned away from God, His Word, His ways, and His will, and gone whole hog into their own reality? How can we speak the truth to them in love so that we can bring them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? As John the Baptist said, be saved from this present evil age. We want people to come to know Christ and grow in Christ. And the only way that will happen is when they know the truth, believe the truth, and follow the truth.
Well, it's going to be an exciting series this month that will challenge all of us. So let's get going. Open your Bible now to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin explaining what it really looks like when we're growing strong in our spiritual lives.
Now, when I was a kid growing up in the 60s and in the 70s, TV, afternoon TV, was a big part of my life as a kid. And back in the day, you didn't have that many channels. And after school, in the afternoons, that was cartoon time. And that was kind of kid time. And so you would get home from school and you would watch TV. And the advertisers knew that kids were watching. And then there was a commercial that would come on, and it had to do with a particular kind of food that you had to eat as a young boy or you just weren't going to be big and strong. So I had to have Wonder Bread. You know, their ads said at Wonder Bread you had to have 8 slices a day. So after church today, go get you a loaf and get big and strong. Well, I would watch that and say, well, I want to be big and strong, so I better eat Wonder Bread. Hey, in the Christian life, God wants you to grow up big and strong. He doesn't want you to be a baby all your Christian life. He wants you to be big and strong. And the scripture tells us in Ephesians about growing up and building ourselves up so that we would be big and strong. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 11. It says this, and he, God, gave some to the church as apostles, and some as prophets. Those were foundational ministries, the ministry of the apostles and the ministry of the prophets, and some as evangelists. They would go, Paul was an evangelist as he went place to place preaching the gospel, and some as pastors and teachers. Now that should probably be like a hyphen, pastor, teacher. It's one person and it's one office, the pastor, teacher. And what did God give these gifts for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's what God wants to do. We get mature and we get strong and we're built up. Verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, to be infants and babies, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. You're important, I'm important, because we're the individual parts that the Lord is putting together, fitted together, according to each, to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Hey, how does a person grow strong in the Christian life? Answer, by receiving the truth in love and walking in it. To grow strong, you have to spend time in the truth of God, to hear it, to accept it, to receive it, to put it into practice in your life. And when you do, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him. Now, we're starting a new series today that I'm calling The Truth in Love from Ephesians 4:15. See, you can't grow strong. I can't grow strong without the truth in love. You can't find your way, and I can't find my way without the truth in love. And you can't experience the good things that God has for you unless you receive the truth in love and walk in the truth in love. So for today, we want to talk about the truth. What is the truth concerning the truth? Because the Bible has much to tell us. There are three discoveries that I want you to notice with me as we search the scripture on the topic of truth. Discovery number one, truth is not subjective. We live in a world today where people want truth to be subjective. They want to talk about, well, that's your truth, Jeff. That's not my truth. And they say we have my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. Well, that's all subjective. Truth is not subjective. Truth is objective, absolute. It is what God says it is. That is truth. You know, Pilate asked the question mockingly and skeptically to Jesus, what is truth? And then he walked off. He wasn't asking, seeking, Lord, tell me what is truth. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate, ha, what is truth? Hey, truth is super important, critically important, massively important. It's used over and over and over and over again in the Bible. In the New Testament, truth is aletheia. It means what is in reality, what is in fact, what is in certainty. It's true in any matter under any consideration. That's biblical truth. It's not situational. It's not what is true in Texas is not true in Timbuktu. No, truth in the Bible is true wherever you are, and it's true in any age. It is truth. Now, to give you the difference and help you understand the difference between subjective truth, which is really not truth at all. Subjective truth is just opinion. And objective truth, which is really true. Let me use this as an example. Suppose I say, look at this pulpit. The pulpit in front of me, in front of you, is black. The pulpit is an object. My statement about the pulpit is black, is an objective statement. Now, I am looking at the pulpit. I am the subject looking at the object. So if I say, the pulpit is red. That's a subjective claim about an object. Well, obviously the pulpit is not red. Anyone in here would say the pulpit is red? Anyone? Don't be afraid to be wrong. It's not red. But if I say the pulpit is red, then that would be me as the subject saying, well, to me, it is red. But it's not red. It is black. And we can prove it's black by getting a bunch of colors up here and saying, well, which one matches? Oh, it matches to that one. God's truth is objective. It's not subjective. And so when we talk about truth, truth is not what you think about it, what you feel about it, what you consider about it. Truth is what God says it is. And so notice some things here about truth. Truth is rooted in the Lord. Where does truth come from? It comes from God, because it's part of his nature, it's part of his character. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, and when he passed by Moses, he declared who he is. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. God just overflows in loving kindness and truth. That's his nature. That is who he is. And when Jesus came, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He's the personification of truth. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. No, I am the and only the truth, the way, the life. He is the embodiment of truth. It's rooted in the Lord. And it's not only just rooted in the Lord, it's revealed in the Bible. So it's rooted in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of God. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of aletheia. So it's rooted in the Lord. It's revealed in the Word. How do we know truth? We know truth from what the Bible says. Jesus, when he was praying his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said this to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Lord, for my disciples, for my followers, set them apart in the truth. What is that? It's the word of God. Thy word, your word is truth. Truth is revealed in the Bible. It's rooted in the Lord, but it's revealed in his word. How do we know truth? We know it from reading the scripture. Now, as I said, truth is not what you think. Truth is not what you feel. Truth is not what you surmise or what you conjecture or even what you believe. All that is subjective. Truth is objective. It is what God says, because God is the author of truth, and truth abounds from God. You know, that's one of the things about Adam and Eve when they ate of the fruit. The devil said, you eat of this fruit and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But see, God knows good and evil because he takes everything and it's reflected against himself. If it doesn't line up with his holiness, then it is evil. Adam and Eve couldn't do that because Adam and Eve weren't holy, holy, holy. They were innocent. And when they sinned, they couldn't do what God can do. They can't take something and compare it to themselves because they're not the perfect entity and person as God is. And so God knows evil based on the fact that this doesn't mesh with me. But you and I can't do that. They couldn't do that. And we can't do that. And so truth is an objective thing. It's what God says is rooted in the Lord. It's revealed in the Word. And it is reviled by the devil. The devil hates the truth. He hates it. He hates the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. And the devil hates the truth. And in John chapter 8, Jesus was having an argument with the religious leaders. They said, well, we have one father, Abraham. He's our father. We weren't born of fornication like you were, Jesus, because we heard about your background. Your mother was pregnant before she was married. We weren't born of fornication. We have one father, even Abraham. And Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would believe in me. And then he said this, John 8, beginning in verse 43, why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And he's talking to religious leaders. This stung a lot. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. The devil will attack the word. He will revile the word and condemn the word and castigate the word. And he introduces his lies into society. The very first thing that came out of the devil's mouth when he had contact with a human being is recorded in Genesis chapter 3. As he comes into the garden, he slithers into the garden and he says to Eve, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" Question mark. Trying to get Eve to question the word of God, to question the word of truth. That's how he works. He is a liar and the father of lies. So truth, the very first thing that we need to know about truth is it's not subjective. It is what God says it is, because God is the creator, and everything God created, he didn't just willy-nilly set up, well, this is sin and this is not sin. All of that comes out of the nature and character of God. Lying is a sin because it's opposite of God's nature and character. God is abounding in loving kindness and truth. Second discovery. Not only is truth not subjective, truth is critical to salvation and spiritual growth. You have to have truth. Truth is not incidental. It's fundamental. It's not a nicety to have truth. It's a necessity to have truth, because it is essential to salvation and to spiritual growth. See, you can't be saved. You can't go to heaven without truth. It's impossible. So if anyone in here wants to go to heaven when you die, if you want to have a relationship with God, it requires you to believe objective truth. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in him, speaking of Jesus, in him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The message of truth. What is the message of truth? It's the good news of your salvation. Truth and the gospel, they're connected. You can't get saved without the truth. You have to believe the truth. You have to accept the truth. You have to receive the truth in order to become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's talking about those who perish. Why do people perish? It says this, verse 10, because they did not believe the love of the truth. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. That's why they perish. To those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. The truth is connected to love, and that's how you are saved. And if you reject the truth, the pulpit is not black, the pulpit is blue, or there's no pulpit at all. If you reject that, well, that's your lifeline. That's your salvation. See, truth is critical, and you can't be saved without it. But not only can you not be saved without the truth, you cannot mature spiritually without the truth. See, that's what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says in verse 14 again, as a result that we grow up and build up and get strong, as a result, we're no longer to be children. We're no longer to be infants, tossed up here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, holding to the truth in love, walking in the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now, here's the way the Bible describes it. When a person puts his faith, her faith, and trust in Jesus Christ, you are born again. And we all know when a baby is born physically, when a person is born, they come into the world as an infant. And they can't do anything except cry and make a mess. That's what infants do. They can cry and make a mess. That's all they can do. They need someone to take care of them, and they need someone to feed them and change them and love them and do things for them. And hopefully, that infant begins to grow up. And then that infant is able to take care of himself at some point. He has to grow. But we all start in the Christian life, we start out as infants. And the Lord says, now, little baby, I want you to grow. And the purpose of the church is to help little babies grow up and be strong so that they can reproduce, so that they can share the gospel and share with people. And then we have more babies born into the church and we grow them up. That's the whole process of salvation. But that's how it goes. It's this person gets saved and he grows up and he leads others to faith in Christ, and they grow up and they lead others to faith in Christ. And like the old Breck commercial, and they told two friends and they told two friends, and so on and so on and so on. That's how the church grows. Now it says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. I mean, this book is wonder bread for the spiritual man. It helps you grow, build strong bones and teeth, as the commercial said. Now, we all hopefully love little babies. And we don't love them at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're screaming and you think that, okay, I need to rethink this thing about having a bunch of kids. We still love them, but we just wish they'd sleep. And so, we used to sing that song, how sweet to hold a newborn baby. I mean, there's just something special about little babies. But you know what's not special, what's not fun, is if a baby never grew up. If you have an adult and he's still a baby, and he's still in diapers, and he still needs you to feed him. Nobody wants that. So here you are, and you've been a Christian for 50 years. That's no good. God doesn't want us to look like that. He says, I want you to grow. Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. See, the Bible is milk, it is bread, it is meat. That's how the scripture defines the word of God. It helps you grow. It's wonder bread for you so that you're not looking like the little baby. That's how the Lord wants us to be. Strong. Why? So that we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, so that we can stand up, so that we know what is true, and we can speak the truth in love, that we're confident and we're stable in the word of God. So truth is critical to salvation and spiritual growth. And discovery number three, truth is the need of the hour.
And the truth is what you always get here on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who's just begun the series, The Truth in Love. And today, the first half of the message, Growing Strong. Each of us needs to grow strong in the Lord, because as we're learning, truth is under serious attack today. Our society has rejected God and objective truth in favor of personal opinions and preferences. And this brings devastating results. So how do you and I live faithfully for Jesus and share His truth in love in an increasingly wicked world? One of the ways is by studying His Word and being inspired to live for Jesus in these changing times. This month, Pastor Jeff is preaching through his 7-message series, The Truth in Love. It'll inspire you to live and to share your faith. It's our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. And you can get this series in multiple formats, either on DVDs, CDs, on a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the compelling and compassionate series, The Truth in Love. And also a huge thank you for investing in kingdom work through From His Heart. Well, time is up for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us, and we trust that you'll be here next time for part 2 of the first message in this series entitled Growing Strong, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.